If you have a Bible, please open to Ephesians 6. We looked at this last week, but I want to just build on what we talked about last week. We are in a battle, and I should say, you know, at the start of this message, remember the rules that we now operate under, social distancing and all that sort of stuff. But we are in a battle. Last week I spoke about it, and I explained that the real enemy is not governments and vaccinations and lockdown, not even the media or the social media. The real enemy behind all of this is Satan. Always has been, always will be. But I'm concerned, and I'm very saddened when I hear people speaking, Christians, even pastors speaking. I'm concerned when I get on social media, which I do rarely, but when I do, it just people are just tearing one another apart over issues that in eternity don't matter. I can guarantee you that Jesus will not be there in heaven checking if you're vaccinated or not. He's just not going to do it, all right? So I'm not saying it's not important, but what I'm saying, tearing one another apart and getting vehemently and angrily on board with this stuff, which many people are doing, that's not important. That's wrong, in fact. And I'm going to further expand on Ephesians 6 here, reading from verse 12. And if you've got our app, all the notes and stuff are also on the app. So if you open that, if you haven't got the app, see me afterwards and we'll make sure you put it on your phone. It says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Do you notice the government isn't listed there? We're talking about a spiritual battle here. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would just enlighten the scriptures to us this morning as we look to stand on what is true and what is right, as we get a right perspective on a world gone crazy. Lord God, we commit it to you and ask that you'll speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to remind you that our enemy is cunning and crafty and dirty and underhanded, and he will do whatever he can. He will stop at nothing to destroy you, your family, and our nation and our people and the world, in fact. The latest battlefield is COVID. That just happens to be the latest. It's been there for a long time. The Bible speaks of the devil more than 100 times, but not once is he portrayed as a short horned dude in red spandex with a pitchfork. Not once in the whole of Scripture does the devil go down and enter a fiddling contest in Georgia, right? The devil is, we need to recognize that Satan's fingerprints are all over this COVID situation, all over it. Yet in the midst of all the discussion and the anger and the venom and people so vehemently for one side or the other, we've forgotten he's hiding in the shadows and he's loving every minute of it. We need to be balanced and obedient to God, don't we? Instead of following all of the social trends. So I urge you, I'm not saying don't have opinions. I said this last week. I'm not saying don't have opinions. Go out there, do your research, have an opinion. What I'm saying is you need to speak the truth in love, not anger. And stuff that I'm seeing on social media and the way people are speaking to one another if they have a disagreement on this is just abhorrent. I believe it's absolutely abhorrent. We need unity. Right now in our church, we need unity. Right now in our nation, we need unity. For there the Lord bestows a blessing, even life forevermore. And when we tear one another apart over anything, this stuff or anything else, when we have disunity, whatever the issue is, disunity pulls the whole place down. Jesus said, "A house divided will not stand." And that's our nation right now. We're all divided along, you know, we were divided a couple of years ago around gay marriage. Now we're divided around COVID. We just are divided perpetually, but the world is looking for unity. And I believe God is looking for unity. Jesus said, John 13, "A new commandment I give you that you" what? "Love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Not clever arguments, not conspiracy theories, not anger and wit and sarcasm or vaccinations or masks or anything else. Only love will win the day. We cannot fight a spiritual battle against a spiritual enemy with carnal weapons. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." We looked at this last week. Talked about strongholds as like a big fort. But one of the meanings of that particular Greek word for strongholds is an argument, that's a fortified argument that you defend at all costs. I didn't realize that till I started doing research, but it actually refers, strongholds is a physical thing, but it's also an argument that you hold to so strongly that you defend, and you defend it so vehemently. So it's time for, how are we going to do this? I mean, you could talk about, yeah, we need to stand and all that sort of stuff, but the question is, how are we going to do this? I'll tell you how. We need to put on the armor of God. That's what this passage, so we're going to keep going in this passage now. And let's get to verse 13. It says this, "Therefore take up the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So before you get angry and lash out at someone, why not figure out who the true enemy is? We're not attacking him, we're attacking each other many times. So then we need to put on the armor of God, and to put the whole, it says put on the whole armor of God, not bits and pieces. You don't, it's not fashion here. You don't get to choose, oh, I don't like that. That doesn't go with my hair. You can't do that. Put on the whole armor of God, because each part of the armor has a role to play in protecting you and having you prosper in the battle. So let's run through the armor of God. Some of you will know this very well, but let's talk about it here. The first thing is the belt of truth. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand therefore, having the fastened on the belt of truth." Now, a soldier's belt wasn't just a fashion accessory to hold his pants up. Lots of stuff hung on that belt that he could use in the battle. It was kind of like God's answer to the Batman belt. You know, Batman had this belt. Am I the only one who ever followed Batman? He had like a utility belt and everything was in it. And so I remember in one movie, him facing, he had a shark hanging off his leg, as you do. And he said these immortal words, "Robin, get the anti-shark bat repellent." I mean, everybody has one of these in their belt. But in his belt was everything. It was like a cricket umpire's, you know, pockets. It just had everything you could possibly need in his belt. It's like a woman's handbag. I don't care what you need. It's in a woman's handbag somewhere. I guarantee you. And so the belt of truth, it had everything that you need to fight the battle. Lots of stuff hung off it, like the sword, for example. So John 17:17 says this, Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." See, God's word is the truth. It's the complete truth. It never changes. The world's version of the truth changes all the time. Have a look around at the world at the moment. No one can even agree what the truth is, let alone agree on it. No one knows. The world's version changes all the time. But the piece of our armor upon which our defense hangs is the belt of truth, which is the word of God. And if nothing else, the coronavirus has shown us that mankind has no answers. They're trying to, I mean, you think about it. Think of all the dilemmas we've faced trying to deal with this disease. You know, think of the masks and the sanitizer and social distancing and toilet paper. What was with that? What was with the toilet paper? I'm now ashamed to buy toilet paper in case people think I'm stocking up. And being locked down. And being locked up for not being locked down. How does that work? The world has struggled to contain this situation. Now more than ever, we need truth, don't we? And information is being blasted at us all the time by the media. I was talking with someone the other day. They reckon that about 80% plus of all media, all news bulletin media these days, is in and around COVID. 80%. I can tell you, about 80% plus of everybody's conversation is in and around COVID. Or football, one or the other, you know. So, but COVID is like it's all anybody's talking about. Am I right? See, propaganda is the control of information, control of perception. And what concerns me most, more than anything about what I'm seeing here, is the lack of truthfulness on both sides. On both sides, all right? So I'm not taking a side here. I'm saying both sides, you don't know what is truth and what is error. I have recently, I'm in contact with a girl that I met in Trout Creek who is writing about the Afghanistan situation. And she's writing, she was in Afghanistan serving with the US forces there. And she, many of her friends are now in mortal danger. I mean real mortal danger. They're being murdered by the thousands in Afghanistan. As fast as she's putting posts up on Facebook, they're taking it down, saying it's inappropriate. You can't even have an opinion if it differs to them. Right? And this is part of the issue, the control of information. And on the flip side, for those of you who like conspiracy theories who say, yeah, the government's holding back. Well, on the flip side, I reckon any fool with a phone camera and a YouTube channel and an agenda can spread their information far and wide, can't they? And you don't know if it's true or not. And people are fighting one another about stuff and they don't even know if it's true or not. They're not even sure. You know, conspiracy theories are far and wide all over the place. I wished, honestly, I continue to be stunned by the number of people who sent myself and Fiona messages and they're labeled, you have to watch this. Like if nothing, you have to watch this. What, I don't know, some video or something like that. And I don't mind that sort of stuff, but I don't have to watch this. I have to watch the Word of God. That's what I have to do. I have to keep my eyes on the Bible, not on all the various things out there. Now, again, I'm not saying don't have an opinion, but I'm saying watch how you share that with people. Do it in love. And here's another thing. While we have been busy arguing about vaccines and masks and social distancing and et cetera, the truth has been manipulated by our government. Did you know that since the coronavirus thing started, laws regarding full-term abortion, euthanasia, police powers and civil liberties have been and are currently being snuck through Parliament. You don't even hear about it. There's no room in the news bulletin because of all the COVID stuff. So you don't hear about important stuff like that. And I believe every life is important. Do I hear an amen? But I got on the internet this morning. Here's just a perspective, okay? I'm not saying that people's lives aren't important. They are. But worldwide, they are now reporting 4.5 million people have died of COVID. In the same period, 28 million abortions were done. There's a perspective. See, they're sneaking this stuff through while we're concentrating on the wrong thing. The truth of Scripture needs to be the basis of the way we live, raise our kids, do business, vote, connect with our communities. Why? Because it's God's truth and it doesn't change month to month and year to year. We need to wear the belt of truth uncompromisingly, but wear it with love towards those who disagree with us. See, for too long, Christians have had the truth, but they haven't shared it in love. Is that right? You look back through even a short history, we've got very stuck on issues. We've been very adamant on issues, and that's good because it's truth, and we've stuck to the truth. But we've done it in a way that has not shown love to our people. You can love someone without agreeing with them. Just ask my wife. She does it with me all the time, right? You don't have to agree with people to love them. So you can love people that don't agree with your stand on anything, but you can still hold to the truth of the Word of God. Do I hear an amen to that? Okay. So Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. The second part of the armor is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the thing I like about breastplates is it's kind of how I imagine my chest looks. Yeah, good on you. Nothing like delusion, is there? Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put in place the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? It's living a right life. Okay, it's not living a perfect life. It's just living a right life. But we must be righteous to each other, even online. To be a Christian and walk and talk and act and post in a way unworthy of the calling is to march into battle with chinks in your armor, and the enemy will find them. Godly character and a right relationship with God are necessary in protecting our heart, because that's what the breastplate does. It protects your heart. And we have to protect that. We have to guard our heart. Now remember, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want to know the condition of your heart, have a look at your speech. If you're constantly putting people down and stuff, that gives you a clue as to what your heart is like. If you're constantly seeing joy and seeing blessing, then that gives you a clue as to what your heart is like. We must guard our heart and keep our heart righteous. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." Now, I know that anger is a natural response. You know, I know that anger is something we can very easily and readily go to. It's also a natural response to injustice. I get angry when I see injustice, don't you? When you see good people being oppressed or bad things happening to good people, it makes us angry. But most of us, if we admit it, we are angry about something, about the aspect of what's happening with COVID all around us, are we not? I hope you're angry, because I don't want to sail through and think this is normal, because it's not. We need to be angry, but there's a way to do it. See, it seems to me that everybody is angry about something or other today. You need to recognize that your anger, for or against, right or wrong, righteous or unrighteous, is being fed by the media. It's been stirred up by the algorithms of social media. Have you ever wondered how social media works? I know this will make you hungry, but they put cookies on your machines, on your phones and stuff, little bits of information, and they track everything you do. That's why, if you've ever noticed this, if you buy, I don't know, a fridge, all these ads for fridges keep popping up. Have you noticed that? Is that a miracle? No, it's because that's what they're feeding you, right? They feed you more of what you want. So if you have a particular position on an issue, guess what you get fed? Stuff that supports what you want to do, and you don't see the other side. So I've you know, talking to people, many people, even pastors, even Christians, are so angry about their point of view. And you know, you can become addicted to anger. Did you know that? You'll meet people all the time. They're always crusading for something. They're always angry about something. You know, the Bible says we should be full of joy and peace. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. But we get angry about so much, and some people are perpetually angry. In fact, anger is the devil's cocaine. So let me ask you, are you buying? Because some people get, the rush of being angry, it's what they do all the time. And I've seen Christians, even pastors, on social media behaving very unrighteously. You can win an argument and lose a soul, and the devil wins and you lose. If you lose your temper, you lose. So I urge you, form godly and informed opinions, but do not do so at the expense of loving one another and wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Be righteous in the way you talk to one another. Your words can build people up or can cut people down. Your choice. But I believe we need to choose our words carefully, both on social media and one-to-one. We need to love one another even if we don't agree with one another. Today, people tolerate bad ideas, but they're intolerant towards people. But we as God's righteous people need to tolerate people, even the ones that you don't like, even the ones you don't agree with. You tolerate people, but you're intolerant to bad ideas. This means we love people no matter what, tolerating them, even tolerating how they behave because we love them, but we don't have to accept the ideas. Does that make sense? It's important we get this. Wearing the breastplate of righteousness is important because that's how we live towards one another. And we need to wear it with grace and dignity. The next part of the armor is the shoes of the gospel of peace. So if you live a righteous life, this righteousness brings you peace. Did you know that? If you meet a righteous person who's in right standing with God, living their life for the Lord, they have an incredible amount of peace around their life. And we heard Dave share on that earlier with the situation he faced. He said, "I have peace." Now, how can you have peace in the midst of all that's going on around us at the moment? The only way is to live a righteous life, and God's peace will fill your heart. You know, when you experience this true inner peace, you can't wait to share it with people, because no one, get on social media, talk to your friends. No one out there has peace right now. Everybody is upset and fearful about everything. So Ephesians 6:15 says this, "The shoes for your feet having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, a Roman soldier's shoes, they weren't just a fashion accessory. They weren't just like, what is it, the Real Housewives of, you know, who have a closet bigger than our bedroom full of shoes. Roman soldiers didn't have shoes like that. Their shoes were very practical, and they weren't about prestige. They weren't like, you know, some of the, I look at Eli's shoes, you know, and they're like, he's like, these are the coolest shoes ever, you know. So he knows a good shoe, I tell you. This man knows a good shoe. But that's not what Roman shoes were about. Roman shoes were about practicality. They enabled the Roman soldier to travel further and faster than his enemies through any terrain. Now, in the same way, the peace of the gospel that equips us to travel over rough roads and carry the same gospel, these strong sandals, the Roman sandals, were called calligae, and they had heavy soles with hobnails in them. These little things were like little nails sticking out the bottom. And they had nails at the bottom, like studs on a football boot, so that when people assailed them, they could dig those things in and stand their ground. They wouldn't be pushed back because they had nails on the bottom of their feet. So the gospel of peace is like that. It's strong, and it allows us to stand for the truth without compromise and without being pushed back against our will. Do you think we need that today? I reckon we do. Isaiah 32:17 says, "The effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever." In a world raging war over COVID, with people fighting and hating one another, we can live at peace with each other and with God, and even with people that don't agree with us. We can still be at peace with them. And the cool thing about peace, in Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." So like the breastplate guards our heart, peace can also guard our minds. If you have God's peace within you, your heart and mind can be guarded. You can live and speak up for Christ and have no fear. Was just reading about, the other day, reading about Christians standing up for their faith and being martyred. It's happening in Afghanistan and other places right now. I was in Nigeria about a decade or so ago, went there with Bill Newman. And in northern Nigeria, they regularly have bands of Muslims come through and attack a Christian village, and they will just kill Christians and drive them out and then put Muslims in there and say it's a Muslim village now. It's happening right around the world. Okay, it's not just in Afghanistan, but Afghanistan's perhaps more under the spotlight. But you can face anything without fear if you have peace in your heart. You can also learn to wisely hold your tongue when others don't. You can also have peace when others only have anger and fear. All this stuff going on. Let me remind you about what God says about all this stuff that we're facing right now. Written centuries ago, listen to this, Psalm 91. You know where I'm going, those of you who love Psalm 91, verse 5 to 6. Listen. "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." Does that mean we're immune? No. But it means we don't have to live in fear, the climate of fear that is out there at the moment. So when you are dealing with others who are full of fear, love them, have compassion for them, and let the peace of God shine into their lives. And the only way to do that is to have it yourself. That's what the shoes of the peace are about. They help you to stand your ground and have that peace in your heart. Now, the next thing is the shield of faith. And we talk about shields a lot, but look at what it says in Ephesians 6, verse 16. In all circumstances, not just some, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Now, I don't know what you think, but I reckon there's a lot of dart slinging going on at the moment. Am I right? A lot of people attacking a lot of other people. And the faith of some believers, even whole churches, is being tested. Well, not this little black duck and not this church either. I believe that we can stand and we can have the shield of faith to protect us, don't you? We need to surge forward and take ground in the time of testing, not get pushed back. And that's what we're doing. We're going to relocate, move into Nambour, for those of you online. And we have some people tuning in from overseas. It's the biggest town in our district. It's down the road, and we'll be right in the middle of it. Are you excited? I am. We've got an incredible opportunity to move forward as a church. All in this time of testing, with all the miracles we've seen, and we've seen like so many miracles, incredible miracles of provision. So I believe in a God of miracles, don't you? I believe He is a way maker, miracle worker, and we can bring our requests to Him. And people say to me, boy, you must have a lot of faith. The answer is no, I don't. I have a little tiny mustard seed of faith. But it's not about my faith, it's who my faith is in. And if my little bit of mustard seed of faith is put in an infinitely powerful and loving God, that's where the secret lies. So I want to encourage you to take up the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming darts of the enemy. The shield of faith protects believers from all troubles and fears. Now remember this, the devil is a defeated foe. We talked about this last week. He's already defeated. He was defeated on the cross. When Jesus paid for our sin on the cross, when He died on the cross, the enemy was defeated. He thought he'd won. But 3 days later, he figured it out. Because Jesus rose again to show He had power over death and darkness. 1 John 4, 5 verse 4 says, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. See, it's our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Not how much we can muster, but who our faith is in. Now, the Roman shield was actually covered in leather usually, and it was usually soaked in water because they used to fire these flaming darts at them. And if you put your shield up and it hits your shield and your shield caught fire, liar, liar, shield on fire, then, you know, you're in real trouble because the thing you want to protect you is on fire. So they used to cover them in leather and douse them in water to put out the fire from the arrows. And in the same way, fear, lust, pride, anger, contempt, any number of flaming darts are being shot at you all the time. All the time. And we need to be able to extinguish those with our shield. So the shield of faith counteracts all of the flaming arrows thrown at it. Whether it's fears of COVID or moral decline or lockdowns or lost businesses or death, whether we face family conflict, people we love hurting us, maybe we have money problems, maybe we live in fear over finances. Whatever it is, you don't have to live there because you have the shield of faith. Whatever battle we face, the shield of faith can protect us from all the enemy's fiery darts. Heard a little saying once, fear knocked at the door. Faith answered, there was no one there. See, faith counteracts fear. So how do you take up the shield of faith? How do you get it? We can talk about how do you actually use this shield of faith? Well, faith is not a mental exercise you have to stir up and convince yourself of something. I've heard people sitting there saying, I do believe, I do believe, I do believe, you know, and they don't believe. They're just trying to make it up. That's not what real faith is. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith is generally not something you get zapped with. I guess occasionally you do, but mostly you don't. It's something you slowly grow into. And the closer you get to God, the deeper your faith becomes. It's not about me. It's about Him. I reckon like a true measure of faith, real, genuine, actual faith is just knowing God so well you can't believe that He would ever let you down. That's just faith. And that's where we should be aiming at, you know? And then He takes you on this journey because He builds your faith. We've had miracle after miracle after miracle in our church. And people say, well, how are you going to believe God for this? I don't really have any problems believing God for finances for Lily House, for example, because I've already seen Him provide that. And I've seen Him provide incredible miracles in our church. Because He gives you miracle after miracle after miracle. If you need a miracle, this is a great place to be because it is happening here. But we don't start with the big stuff. He starts with small stuff. And then little by little, He builds your faith. That's what miracles do. And then you believe God. Maybe you don't believe God, but something happens. Oh my goodness, that's incredible. Look at that. And then He says, well, now let's go for this. Well, I'm not sure if I can believe that, but if you can do this, then you can probably, you see what I mean? And it builds into your life. Faith is not trying to convince yourself that a miracle will happen. It's also not ignoring the facts and believing fairy stories. Real faith is being so close to God you trust Him no matter what happens. and true faith is unwavering. Romans chapter 4. This is important if you're thinking about faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. This is talking about Abraham's faith. You remember, he was 100 years old. Sarah was 100 years old. There were two chances of them being able to conceive and have a baby, Nunn and Buckley's, because it wasn't happening at 100 years old. Some of you here are in your 70s and 80s. Can you imagine being older than this and believing God for a baby? Wow. Says this, Romans 4, verse 19, listen. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do as he'd promised. He didn't whip this stuff up. He didn't sit there saying, by faith, I am fertile. I am fertile. I am fertile. He didn't do that. What Abraham did was he looked the facts straight in the eye. He said, I know they are facts. I know that we've received that diagnosis. I know that that's been happened. I understand that. I get it. I'm not ignoring. I'm not putting my head in the sand. I get it. But he looked that thing straight in the eye, eyeball to eyeball, and said, you may be big, but my God is bigger. That's what he said. And that's real faith. How do you get there? You just know God. I had a great dad growing up. He's passed away now, but I had a great dad growing up. And if I was standing on a ledge or something, I would jump into his arms. I didn't worry about whether he'd catch me or not. Never entered my head that he wouldn't as a little kid, because I just knew him. I had no doubt in my mind. I couldn't imagine my dad sitting here saying, come on, son, jump. Ha ha, sorry. Joke's on you, you know. Never entered my head. Why? Because I knew him. Because I knew him. And the more you know God is how you pick up the shield of faith. You get to know him more. Faith is simply knowing God so much that you trust him totally. But here's where it gets really cool, folks. Here's the really cool thing. You never walk alone. You don't do this by yourself. You never stand alone. In this church, even you online folk, we want to stand with you in faith. And we want to believe with you and sink roots down. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. We believe in prayer. We believe in praying in the Holy Spirit. And we believe in miracles. And we can join our faith together. We need to build one another up more, don't we? Encourage one another. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Now, the Roman army never sent someone out onto the field with one shield in their hand. This is how they used it. The real strength of the Roman army with their shields was that they joined them together as a unit. This is called the tortoise. And this was how they used to go into battle, with spears sticking out the front and the shields all linked across the front, even across the top, around the sides. And this was like the ancient Roman version of a tank. And it just kept marching towards you with spears out. That's pretty terrifying. But see, the power came not when they were one-on-one trying to fight with a shield. The power came when they joined their shields together and stood together in faith. They linked their shields, you know, front, back, top, left and right. The strength of their one shield was amplified when they joined their shields together with others. And the strength of our shields of faith is amplified when we join our faith together. That's why we pray together. That's why we stand together and believe God together, because together we are better. And together we can join our faith and really see incredible things done for God. So if you are struggling in your faith, don't do it alone. Gather around people here. If you're online, connect with us and we will build your faith. You can build ours and we will join our shields of faith together. The next part of the armor is the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation. Now, the helmet covers your head. And our salvation, look, so many times people attack our salvation. You're not really a Christian if you do this. I have recently read on Facebook, gosh, it sounds like I'm on there all the time. I'm hardly ever anyway. Someone wrote on there, I don't know who it was, but they said, you're not really a Christian if you don't get vaccinated because you don't love people. Now, that's rubbish. That is utter rot. Beware of anyone who attacks your salvation. Because your salvation, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it should be secure and you should have that helmet in place. And it'll protect you. You know, don't believe people who attack that. They want you to think that your salvation is in jeopardy. But if you trust in Jesus Christ and live for Him, it is never in jeopardy. You can wear the helmet of salvation. So if you've asked Him into your heart, His helmet protects you. And I love Romans 8. My answer to that sort of comment is this. Romans 8:38, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, neither the present things nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." That's the truth. That's the thing we need to stand on. None of this stuff, all the stuff going on in the world right now, nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. Nothing. We've got His promise. So the helmet protects your mind, giving you assurance of salvation. And we need this protection today because there's that much fear out in the media that you would imagine that everybody is imminently facing death at every turn. But we don't have to live in that fear. We can be sure of our salvation. Now, the one we all like to talk about is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6, verse 17. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." This does not mean we hit one another over the head with our Bible. That's not what this means. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we've looked at our defenses, but this is the real offensive part of the armor. It's also defense, but it's also offense. Every Roman soldier will be equipped with what was called a gladius, which is Latin for sword. And every believer is equipped with the Word of God to be used both for offense and defense. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy every argument, every lofty opinion." Does that sound like today? Lofty opinion? Just a few. "Raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ." So to wield the sword of the Spirit is to use Scripture to defend against attacks and to destroy strongholds of false belief and that sort of stuff. We must use Scripture against any opinion, ideology, or worldview that sets itself up in contention with the Word of God. Now, I constantly have people saying to me, "Do we need to obey these government sanctions? Should we be doing what the government asks us to do?" And my answer to them is simple. If you read Romans 13, we are to obey the government of the land until they contradict the Word of God. Then we obey God. Now, my Bible doesn't say, "Thou shalt not wear a mask." It doesn't say, "Thou shalt get vaccinated or not vaccinated." You know, it doesn't say any of that. But when they bring in full-term abortion laws, something inside me rises up. Because that's something. I don't have to sit around and wonder whether that's a good idea or whether maybe the government's right, because they are wrong, wrong, wrong on that issue. Speaking on behalf of the millions of murdered babies, they are wrong. So, the sword of the Spirit. Now, if you've ever watched like sword fight, you remember old movies where they have sword fights? Let's bring it up to modern days. Remember Star Wars? It's not that modern, but you know, all that sort of stuff, right? It's the shortest lightsaber in the world, but it is blue. What you'll notice when they're using the sword is that sometimes it'll be for defense, then other times it'll be for attack. And that's the same with the Word of God. Sometimes it's defense, but sometimes it is attack in the Spirit. See, the Word of God, Hebrews 4 says, is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is why I believe the Word of God is pivotal to what we're doing. So we cannot wield this offensive weapon unless we know it. So join us, you know, do the Bible reading plan. Read God's Word, study it, learn it, memorize it. It's your sword. Get to know it well. Because that's where we can really do some damage to the enemy. So at this pivotal moment in history, I believe we should suit up. Don't you? It's time to get our suit of armor on and to really stand. with all the devastation of COVID and attempts to deal with COVID have brought and are still bringing us, right across our society, pro-vax, anti-vax, pro-mask, anti-mask, you know, all this sort of stuff, we need to concentrate on what's important. And I'm telling you, in eternity, it feels really important now, all the stuff going on, but in eternity, it matters not a bit. What matters is Jesus Christ. So the battle is about so much more than COVID. We need to do what is required because that is what is required. But we do not need to live each day in fear. I actually was talking to a lady in my practice this week. She's an old lady. She's in her 70s, and she is waking up with night terrors every night worrying about the coronavirus. That's no way to live. I was able to speak words of peace and life to her at that moment because that's the power that we have. I'm not saying don't be sensible, but I'm saying you don't have to live under this fear, and you don't have to be so fearful that you attack one another. I don't know about you, but I've turned the news off. I don't watch it anymore. I'm sick of it. I would rather listen to something that builds me up rather than pulls me down all the time. And at the end of it all, what we focus on is what we get. This is true right across the board. If you focus on criticism all the time, then that's what you're going to get. If you focus on joy all the time, then that's what you're going to get. If we focus on the fears of this world all the time, we will not live rising above the storm. We will be engulfed by it. So we need to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, don't we? Keep our eyes on him. As the old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And the things of COVID will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. And I think there's a message for us today. Today we're equipped to stand with the armor of God and to take ground. So what about you? Will you stand? Will you join your shield of faith with me and with others in this church? And will you stand and keep your eyes firmly fixed on the one who really matters? Will you fight the good fight together? You know, Colossians 2:15 says this, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. That's what Jesus has already done. This is just the mop-up operation spiritually, because we've already won the victory. We need to pray. We need to suit up with all of those things that we've just mentioned. You can pray sometimes and feel like you're just going through the motions, can't you? Have you ever experienced that? You pray and it's like there's a ceiling. Your prayers bounce off the ceiling and get nowhere. Am I the only one who's ever experienced that? A few of you are. That's why the Bible says to pray in the Holy Spirit, because that's what can break through that stuff. Put the Word of God in your heart and then pray in the Holy Spirit. His power, His direction, His language, His anointing, your prayers can move heaven and earth. They're important in eternity. Every person has a role. I don't care if you're you know, hurt or injured or sick, your prayers matter in eternity. Prayer is not wasting time. Prayer is investing time in the things that matter for all time. So are you battle weary? Are you sick of the CNN blitzkrieg of COVID propaganda and stuff that gets thrown at us constantly? Do you feel alone? Do you feel like you're being picked off by the enemy? If you feel the pressures of life, I believe it's time that we took a stand, don't you? For our nation and for each other. We can take a stand. We can pray together in the Holy Spirit. The world says to us, shut up and pay, but I'm calling you now to suit up and pray, because I believe that God has a future for us. Our people will not be wiped out by this disease. Our church and our people are going to prosper in this disease because our eyes are firmly fixed on him, not on what's going on around us. Remember Peter, he stepped out of the boat. He began to walk on water, began to see this incredible miracle. When did it change? When he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the maelstrom around him, the circumstances around him, he began to sink. Folks, it's time for us to put our eyes back on him, to turn our eyes upon Jesus, isn't it? So what I want to do to finish up, we did it last week, I want to do it again. I would like us to gather together in small groups and to pray and to believe God for miracles in this situation. Can you do that? I want you to pray and believe for our nation. I want you to join your shields of faith together and stand for what is true and right in our nation. But let's join our faith together. Let's not separate. Let's not attack. Let's join our faith together and pray and believe God for miracles, even in this dark time, even at this dark hour. We believe God is still sovereign. I do not believe that God has fallen off his throne. I do not believe that he is not able. I believe that he can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or imagine. Don't you? So I'm going to ask that we join together. We're going to sing a little bit. And then I'm going to ask that we just join together. Yes, so come on up, team. We're going to join together and we are going to pray in little groups together because our prayers matter. So why don't you just still your heart right now? Why don't you just bow your head and let's seek the Lord just quietly together. Oh Lord, you are King, you are sovereign over all things. And Father, right now we want to lift our heart to you. Lord, we don't want to attack those around us. Lord, forgive us for the anger and the frustration that we've expressed to others who don't agree with our opinion. And Lord, we just take our eyes off this circumstance that is moving around us. We don't decrease it. We don't say it's not important. We just take our eyes off it and we place our gaze firmly upon you. Lord, we fix our eyes upon you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Just take a few moments to take your eyes off all the stuff that's happening in your life, whether it's happening to you personally, whether it's happening across the nation. Take a few moments to take your eyes off that and just place them on Jesus. And we'll go forward together with our eyes set on him.